B-Pod Studios.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Ramalama ding dong, rock and roll is king.
Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord.
Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program as we broadcast from respected places all over the area. We are very excited to join you on day. What day is this of the lockdown? We're in a seventh week of it.
I don't know. I know it's like what
over day 40, Fred. It's longer than Lent. It's
okay, over day 40. So here we are, over day 40, and there is no way that our business is open by the by the 18th, around the 18th. So I've made contingency plans for what I intend to do. I gotta think we're not back at work at the station until June is what I'm thinking. That is what my idea is. But we are going to play for you a game called Is It a Racehorse or a Bad Local Band? And one of the songs we played yesterday, I mentioned during it, I'd never heard it before, but I said during the song, I'm like, this sounds like a guy trying to be Lou Reed. And then you said it was like Bon Jovi, and I said it was like it sounded like a Springsteen song. Well, it was a song called Frankie Teardrop by a band called Suicide. Mm-hmm. Do you have that, Rich?
Yeah, but I think we might play it later on. I mean,
No, but just play a little bit of it.
Yeah, let's see. Hang on, let me pull it up here. It's the... Is that one right there?
Yeah, and so that's a 10-minute long song.
I think, it's longer than that. I think it's like
No, it's I listened to
minutes.
It yesterday. It's 10 minutes. I listened to it yesterday. And Suicide is like a real band. And that song inspired Springsteen to do the Nebraska. And Lou Reed said he wished he would have written it.
Oh,
so Suicide is a real band that came out of New York in that like post or actually pre-punk. And that's a real band. And that song, it's like Henry Rollins' favorite song. Oh, and Henry Rollins, like a listener sent us something and I fell down a rabbit hole. That's like Henry Rollins' favorite song of all time. He became like really good friends with the singer of that band. So, and then when he died, like Henry was like the main guy that was on top of it.
Yeah, people used to take the Frankie Teardrop Challenge where they would like dare you to go into a dark place in town with your headphones on and you couldn't take it. You could never finish the song because it would freak you out too much.
Well, that is, that is from What's-His-Face, Tom Sharpling's show, who's the guy who did the script for, for the murdery Grown Ups 3. But, he would say Sharpling challenged fans of the show to listen to the song on headphones as loudly as possible at nighttime and while alone in the most creatively terrifying situations they could think of. Callers regularly phone in to account experiences attempted the challenge, with very few listeners completing all 10 minutes in 26 seconds of the song. So that is actually a song that...
Inspired bad bands.
It inspired Bruce Springsteen, who I'm not a huge fan of.
Right.
Inspired Henry Rollins. Yeah, so there you go. So that is actually a song that is Alan Vega and Martin Rev. Alan Vega, who I've heard of before. So that, yeah, it is the song of a about a man, Frankie, who
used to work on the docks,
and then he couldn't afford his rent anymore and he was losing his money, so he murders his wife and child and then commits suicide and then goes down to like hell. And it's a whole situation. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Sometimes these bad bands turn out to have great influence over other artists. And Frankie Teardrop, a sort of underground classic. Who would have known?
There you go. It's the kind of thing that I would have played on college radio, I'm sure. We used to play the sound of like tree frogs. We had a record that was in rotation that was the sound of tree frogs.
Well, I mean, there was that whole Laurie Anderson stuff going on at the time, like that awful crap. And when MTV was new, they like would play Laurie Anderson, and it was just her like hitting pots.
From Stroker Ace?
Yeah. From Stroker Ace. It was just the revving of engines.
Laurie Anderson was hot back in the day.
By the way, are you talking about Lonnie Anderson? Or
oh,
Laurie
that's
Anderson?
The one. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry.
There is a Mike Patton album that is very similar to that, where he's just hitting pots and pans and like breaking bottles. And I had a friend who was so into Faith No More, he pretended to like the album.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I'm a big fan of like the Melvins. Like I love that band, but I have to be honest, I like them when they are reined in a little bit. Like when they got a major label record deal, I think it's their best stuff, because they're such maniacs that if you just have them go into a studio, they'll just make like noise and like static. Like there's an album there, it's almost all static. And you're like, what are we doing? And if they've got like somebody standing over their shoulders going, hey guys, we're spending money, they make some of the best music ever. But if they just go in there on their own, like to me, it almost just sounds like we're just not even trying. Like bands like that, you just, you know, throw bottles against the wall. It's like, all right, now you're wasting. Because back in the day, you know, before Spotify and all those things, you know, you'd have to pay $10-15 to buy an album on the risk that maybe it's good. But then with like the band like the Melvins, like every other album would just be crap. And you'd be like, all right, well, there you go. I'm a 19-year-old kid and I just spent $15 that I don't have on this and it ends up sucking. So at least now there's a little more of an excuse to make that kind of music. Back in the day, that used to piss me off so much. And you're right, Mike Patton was responsible for half that stuff. Like some of the Phantom Us stuff, I was like, why did I just buy this? It's got so many people that I like in this band.
Well, that's
why
like the Beatles compared to his solo album where he's literally just breaking bottles.
Yeah, that's that to me, that back in the day, it was like a waste of money. I'm like, why are you wasting my money?
Still a waste of my money. it's a waste of time, and time is money, baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, what did everyone do yesterday? Because the sun was out.
It was where I am. It was really cold. Like it was maybe 40 degrees and windy. So, I mean, the sun was out, but it sucked going outside. But I did find I found my new bit of happiness. I've been looking for something that you know for like 30 minutes a day that can just kind of take me away from everything. And that is, I've been going and looking online for restaurants that I used to eat at, like, all around the country, and seeing if they deliver food.
Yeah, Gold Belly.
Well, Gold Belly's only got a few. Like, better. I mean, they've got some good ones. Like, I got the Shake Shack thing from them, and that kind of got me thinking. So I just started, like, writing down, like, my favorite restaurants from, like, every city I'd been in, and I would go, and I would... So now I've got, like, a ton of food coming my way. Like, I ordered hash browns and waffle mix from Waffle House. That's on its way.
Oh, come on.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on, Rich.
When we ate Waffle House at the Super Bowl, I just was like, wow, this sucks.
I've never been, and you guys were nice enough to take me, because it was a Waffle House, like, what is it, 20 yards from our hotel, Rich?
Oh,
right,
yeah,
on the
right,
corner
right
there.
Right next to us, yeah.
Yeah, and I went in there a couple of times, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. No need to come back. That's fine.
I love Waffle House. Like, I mean, their waffles are ridiculous, but and their hash browns are great. It'll probably taste nothing like it once I get the mix, but I got it directly from the source. There's a barbecue restaurant that I used to eat at in Texas. Apparently, they'll smoke like they smoke like a... you know, 3-pound turkey, and they send it to you, and it's all ready to go. You just stick it in the oven. I got, like, a rack of ribs from them, too, which was, I mean, it was my favorite thing to do yesterday. I just wrote down a list. There's some places in Boston that I ordered stuff from, like, of my favorite restaurants. And, like, all right, these places obviously need business, so I might as well see if I can order directly from the source. And that has been my little happy place, just going to each one of the little websites and seeing if they deliver food. Now, most don't, but when you hit jackpot, you hit jackpot. So I'm going to have a bunch of stuff sitting up at my doorstep that I'm probably not going to be able to use for the next couple of weeks.
And Fred, did you get a chance to get your kids outside, though, yesterday?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah.
My daughter and I walked to CVS because I had to pick up medicine, so that was a big highlight of the day.
Yep.
Played a little football in the street because it was too wet to play on the grass.
Exactly right. Yep.
So, I mean, it was going on, baby.
Rich, you were talking about how it was too cold to go outside. I didn't care. It was cold outside. I didn't care. You know, anything that keeps the kids from bouncing off each other and wrecking the furniture, I'm all in for. So kids outside. Had them outside yesterday for long periods of time. Dad, it's cold. I don't care. We're outside for at least a half an hour.
That's why I'm going to Tennessee for a while, because at least there's a lake there. But what's crazy about going to Tennessee is because of the age of my parents, we're going to have to quarantine ourselves for 2 weeks.
Oh, that's right.
Down on the second floor. So, but you can access the second floor easily, and then then you have the lake and everything. So there's actually activities for them. Because my son, especially, he was running routes yesterday when I was throwing him the football, and he's like getting out of breath after like two routes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh boy, we got to get going. We got to get out of Dodge.
But, well, I mean, to your point, it is the – I think it's not – if it's not the – it's one of the coldest Aprils on record. I saw something like there were a record number of days that averaged in the 40s for the month of April. And once again, John, it just goes back to my theory that April in Massachusetts is the cruelest month.
Well, this May one is worse. This
well,
is worse
May looks
most.
Like it's going to suck, too, in terms of the weather.
If it's supposed to be 70 degrees here this weekend, though.
Yep, and then you're popping right down to about 50 for a while. So, it's in the 80s in Tennessee. So that's all I got to say. And that kills the virus, you know. 80 degrees. The
well, just
heat
inject it into
sun.
Your body, you know. Just maybe you could do that.
That's right. Or maybe I could have one of my aides have the coronavirus and then go into a hospital without a mask on. There you go. All right, Rich, what is going on? What will we discuss?
Well, if you're one of those people that had tickets to a Red Sox game that either hasn't happened or probably won't, you're probably pissed that you haven't heard anything about getting a refund. We may have an answer for you today. We'll get to that info.
All right, we will be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Or top. Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, what happened last night? Lots of things going on, lots of exciting times here in the city. Rich, what is going on?
Well, as each of the leagues attempts to map out a plan on how to get their season going, Major League Baseball has once again revised its idea on how the league year may end up looking. According to Bob Nightingale of USA Today, a paper with lots of full-color graphs and pie charts.
They don't really make it anymore. I don't think they make the print edition anymore.
Well, I just don't think you have been to a hotel lately on vacation, because that's where it only exists.
Yeah, they put it in front of your door there, but I think it's only, which is a shame, because who didn't fall in love with the color-coded sections and everything else that they had?
I actually enjoyed, you know, that was like one of those like small comfort things that when you're on vacation was that there'd be a USA Today.
Well, they asked if you could get USA Today or the local paper. You always gotta go local paper. Mm-hmm. USA Today was terrible, and it was always like 5 days behind.
They would package Friday, Saturday, and Sunday together. It was you would get like the Sunday paper was Friday's news, but you know, what are you going to do? You said get the local one instead. But Bob Nightingale, who is a very good reporter, he says that baseball could be coming back as early as late June. He writes that Major League Baseball officials have become cautiously optimistic that the season will start no later than July 2nd, playing at least 100 regular season games. Now, this is according to three executives that he spoke with, of course, a condition of anonymity. And not only would baseball be played, but it would be played in their own Major League Baseball parks, albeit with no fans for the time being. He said that the plan is that the league is considering a three-division, 10-team plan, in which teams play only within their division. That means no American and National Leagues, just divisions based on geography. They believe the plan would eliminate the need for players to be in isolation and allow them to still play at their home ballparks while obviously severely reducing travel. Now, the divisions would keep many of their rivals together while playing one another before an expanded playoff format where, of course, you would have to move around. But here's a look at the Red Sox divisions, which would be the one titled the East. There'd be three divisions, East, West, and Central. Sox would be in the East, along with the Yankees and the Mets, the Washington Nationals, the Baltimore Orioles, Philadelphia Phillies, Pittsburgh Pirates, Toronto Blue Jays, Tampa Bay Rays, and the Miami Marlins. I like it. I mean, that would obviously be a fun schedule to watch. And, of course, as they said, you get to keep a lot of your division rivals. There are a couple teams in here that just don't make sense. Like, for some reason, the Atlanta Braves are in the Central Division. I'm not quite sure why they wouldn't be in the East as well, seeing that Miami is in the East, but what are you going to do? Maybe it's to keep some of the rivalries there? No?
East Coast teams, maybe? I have
no idea.
It's
because
the Braves are an East Coast team.
They had 10 teams, and then they, you know, have to decide maybe one team plays the Central, and the travel from Atlanta to those Central places isn't a big deal. There you go. If they're going to play baseball like this, that's fine. I don't like it. Necessarily. I don't like that. I mean, what are they going to do with the DH? Are they just, everyone's going to okay, have a
so,
DH?
So originally they had said that everyone was going to have a DH. This was about a month ago when that contingency plan came out, the one that was going to be the Arizona and Florida League. This report doesn't mention anything about it.
Right.
So it doesn't seem like they specified one way or the other, but it sounds like they're leaning towards making a universal DH.
Oh, great. So buckle up, Every game is going to be about 5 hours.
I think people don't care. They just want baseball.
I think people are going to end up caring, especially if you're in a National League city. I think that you're going to end up caring.
Well, that is going to be interesting. Yeah, sure. But
I hate
because
the
National League teams have built their roster to not have a DH.
Yes, yep.
You know what I'm saying.
Yes,
American League teams will have better hitting squads.
Yeah, you know? And they've built their teams to have a DH, and they've built their teams to have flexibility.
I'm looking here, and Fred, I'm trying to figure out just by looking at this whether or not each division has 5 American League teams and 5 National League teams. Because if that's the case, maybe it's just like normally, whatever place you're playing, that's the rules. Like, you know, if you're obviously playing in a National League park, then you're not going to have a DH and otherwise. It kind of looks that way. Just looking at the East, it looks balanced. Maybe that's the way it is with the other ones, and maybe that's also why things were divided up so strangely. But maybe that's the case, and maybe that's why I didn't mention it, because it would stay
the same. Don't forget now, the other part of it is the neutral playoff sites in November, which they have to do because the weather is crappy over here on the East Coast. But they better get those ballparks in line a long time before we get to the playoffs, because, again, it's not fair to teams like, just say, the Yankees. They're probably going to win 100, 110 games and not play a home playoff game in their ballpark. I mean, it takes away all that work you do to make sure you have that extra home game. In the end, it doesn't matter where you finish.
There's no reason to push at the end. I mean, might as well just sit your whole starting staff.
Yeah, that's the thing. The more important thing is to make sure your top starter's ready to go in game one than anything else at this point.
Well, Nightingale also said it's not known whether the teams would have to open their season in Arizona, Florida, and Texas for several weeks before everyone could go to their home stadiums. That was, of course, speculated at first. But they could squeeze in 100 to 110 games and perhaps even have several thousand fans in attendance before or during the playoffs. Once again, nobody really knows. But that's the plan, at least, that's being discussed amongst many of the GMs right now in baseball. I mean, right now, if you're a player, that sounds like a pretty good compromise, being able to stay somewhat close to home instead of having to fly across the country, especially with what's going on. Any baseball is going to be good baseball, and the fact that they think that they can do this starting July 2nd, I mean, I like the optimism. We'll see. But that's the date that they're shooting for.
You also have to remember, Rich, there are still some teams that get screwed on the travel. I mean, the Red Sox, you mentioned all those teams. Red Sox play a lot of teams that are close by. What about teams like Colorado that have no teams near them?
Or
Miami, or either of the two Texas teams. Houston and Texas are in the West. I mean, imagine that road trip. You have to go to the Dodgers, the Angels, San Diego, Seattle. I mean, there are some teams that really get a break on travel and other teams that get screwed. Now, it doesn't matter in a normal world, but now it does.
Listen, they're doing the best they can.
No system's going to be perfect. But, you're right. No system's going to be perfect. But in this situation, with things being as they are, I think teams like that are at a significant disadvantage.
Yeah.
No, sure. Absolutely. I'm not quite sure why that's necessary, but there you go. I mean, these teams all are able to travel, and I mean, they all have private planes and they're able to travel however they want. I don't understand why that's completely necessary, but if that's what it just seems like everyone's overthinking everything, but I don't really know what the advantage of that is. I mean, just except that you don't travel as far, but if I'm in a Major League Baseball team, I don't care how far I have to travel. So I don't know what the incentive is there.
Well, as far as people here in town who have tickets to Red Sox games that have not been played or will not be played, a lot of them sitting around waiting for the Red Sox to tell them what the hell's going on refund-wise with their tickets. Now, up to this point, I didn't realize this, games this season that have not been played are considered postponed. It's almost like a rainout ticket, and they have not been canceled, which screws a lot of people who want to get their money back. So a vast majority of these ticket holders for any of the 13 games which have not been played or the other 68 this season, which may or may not be played. They've been unable to get their money back. So according to the Globe, the Red Sox, they're expected to announce details of what's going to happen today. Like, they're going to have a plan. I guess Major League Baseball said, we can't leave these people hanging. There's enough season ticket holders who are getting pissed at all this that we don't have any answers. So they say that by this afternoon, they're going to release some sort of statement as to what kind of value they'll get for their tickets.
Why did they wait? They knew this was coming.
It was a Hail Mary. They didn't want, they're clutching the money. They don't want to give it up.
But a plan. At least give the fans a plan. You don't have to now automatically give them their money back, but why wait till the end of April when you knew you weren't going to have baseball at least to Memorial Day 3 or 4 weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, right. At this point, you would think they would have known.
They thought they were going to play a full season and it was just going to be pushed back and they didn't want to give the money up. And then, because once you offer refunds, then it's a whole cluster. I have to get the tickets back. So they probably waited until the very last second before they pried the money from their hands, like John Henry.
Yeah. No, don't give it back.
It's as good a theory as any. I mean, it seems to be the best one so far. And now they're just saying, listen, we'll get 100 games in. we're looking at 100. They just keep like lowering their expectations. And I don't mind that. I don't like them continue to move it back. Just say we're going to have a shorter season and start things on July 2nd and give you your money back so you're not sitting there with tickets that don't mean anything or have any kind of value.
I don't quite understand why they have to screw with all the divisions. I don't know why everyone has to be. I don't know what the advantage of being close together is.
Maybe it's easy to quarantine if you can bus a couple of places. I have no idea.
No, that doesn't make sense. It's not easier to quarantine if you bus places.
They just want to minimize travel. I mean, just because they think that the longer you have to spend traveling, the more of a chance you have to get
the
virus.
That's horse crap. So if I'm on a plane for an hour longer, that means I'm going to get the coronavirus?
Well, or if you're flying as opposed to, as John said, taking a bus. Or a train.
How is taking a bus any different than flying in an airplane? In fact, in an airplane, they filter the air.
Airports, so why would we have any good, I don't know. Dude, I don't know. It does sound weird, but I guess that, I don't know, maybe players want to be closer to home during all this. I know that Torrey Krug will play some of his audio later. You know, he was talking about how a bunch of players during this time, you know, when they want these guys to be quarantined for several months, they said, I don't want to be away from my family during this time.
Well, like, I understand, because they were saying that you're going to have to be away from your family for months.
Yeah.
But if they open up the major league season, And don't give me that it makes things quicker. By the way, taking a train has got to be worse.
This might be the reason, and it might just be pure greed. It might be because they want to jam in more games, and it allows for less travel time when you go across country. Maybe that just means that you would have less off days because they want to get more games in.
All right, then we go back to the Colorado and the two Texas teams getting screwed.
Sure. Yeah.
Or we go back if you just played a West Coast run. I mean, it's the same difference. If you fly me out to LA and then I play the San Diego, Los Angeles, and
Dodgers.
San Francisco.
Dodgers too. Yeah.
Well, that's what I said, Los Angeles. If I play San Diego, Los Angeles, and then I play San Francisco, they don't have to do interleague play. And then, I mean, what's the hell's the difference? I mean, what is the difference between that and anything else? Again, you guys think a train or a bus is safer than an airplane?
No, I'm speculating as to why they would do this. I don't.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to figure out why they would get a bunch of major leaguers
on a bus from Baltimore to Miami.
I didn't think you'd have a bunch of major leaguers quarantined for 3 months away from their families either. I mean, this is a whole weird time, so
they're not going to do it. I mean, they're obviously not going to do that. They're not quarantining anyone away from their families.
But I mean, NHL's over here saying, we'll do anything. Just let us play.
Still no word from the NHL exactly what they're going to do.
They're literally waiting for the NBA to do anything. They're just watching. Tell us what to do.
We got the NFL possibly pushing the season back and going through the end of February. We have the NBA maybe we're going to open up facilities, and we have Major League Baseball with this plan. Nothing from the NHL yet.
No, they're just like, hey, cool. Just tell us when you're ready.
I don't understand the thinking on this. But then again, I'm a simple man. I don't really understand the thinking on why this is any better than anything else, but it's not taking a bus or a train is safer than, I mean, what are they going to do, like rent out a whole train? All right.
Damn it, USA Today. Give us answers in a graph form with colors.
That's right, Nightingale. Make with the answers, dum-dum. All right, what's going on?
Tom Brady seemed to have pissed a lot of people off. We will get to that also. We'll get to some of that Tory Krug stuff that he mentioned yesterday because, as John said, it's really kind of becoming a laugh riot, the lack of plans with the NHL right now and just how in the dark these guys are.
All right, so we'll be back here at the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And, Rich, there's people are trying to come back. These leagues really, really want to play. What's going on with that?
Well, I mean, Tory Krug, as all these guys seem to be doing, just maybe just to fill the time, but Tory Krug did a video chat yesterday. I think this might have been with season ticket holders, and he was being asked about, what do you know? How much do you know? And Tory Krug really doesn't seem to know much of anything.
Yeah, I think we're in constant communication, receiving updates, you know, frequently, and whenever we can get them. Myself and Brandon Carlo are the representatives for our team for the NHLPA. So we're getting updates, and a lot of it is, you know, some of the stuff that people see on social media, and we're very hopeful that, you know, we can obviously return to play. And if some of these potential resume to play options are on the table, and if we're able to do it, I just hope that we can all do it in a very safe, logical way. You know, I think guys want to be with their families during this time, so it'd be tough to tear guys away from their families and things like that. And there's just so many hurdles that need to be jumped over in order for this thing to get up and running.
Well, that's one of the plans right now, is to tear you away from your family. As a matter of fact, there's several plans the NHL has. There's not only the one where they would quarantine in two different spots, but that seems to be thrown away. And now we're going to do it in about six different neutral locations, and nobody really knows what locations that would be. All we know is that 20 different teams threw their names in a hat and say, hey, let me be one of the neutral locations, including the Jacobs. I don't really know. I guess the benefit would be, because you're not going to have anyone there, that the ads on your rink, you know, could be advertised, you know, because it's on TV. There's got to be some sort of financial benefit to doing that.
No, it's just altruistic. He thinks it's cool and wants to go to the games.
Maybe that's the case. He wants to be there for it. But Tory Krug was asked, you know, how are you guys, like, is there any kind of instruction on how you were to keep in shape? And he says that the coach has been giving them some sort of weight programs.
You know, we've been given a workout program from our strength and conditioning staff. Kevin Neild sent us out one that we can do in a body weight perspective. And with, you know, I think we have a few dumbbells here that we use, and you know, everyone has different resources, but we've been, you know, provided at least some sort of body weight program that we can follow along to stay in shape.
I wonder if
all these guys all have weights.
What's that?
Unless you're like 15, one of these 15-year-olds in the league, they all have weights. I mean, they live in like houses, except for Backus, who lives on a main road, but I bet you he's not here anymore.
He's flipping a tire in the backyard, Fred. You know it.
Yeah, but listen, he's not as big as you would think if you meet the man in person. But I like how these guys are all pretending that they're doing body weight workouts. I mean, come on, you're rich. You're a rich athlete. You have access to. I have a couple dumbbells laying around. Come on, like, you don't have a gym in your house, please, or at least something. I mean, we have weights at our house, and I don't. And look at me. That's no. I mean, we're being a little silly here. That their body weight workouts, like they're doing push-ups and that's it. Can you imagine what Chara has in his house?
Why
is it a bunch of stones? It's just like a bunch of boulders. And like
he has to pick up and put on pedestals and then take them down again.
And he's just got like this wood beam that he just puts two fingers on and does like a million chin-ups.
He actually had a mountain imported. He just runs up the mountain.
Yeah.
I'm picking up boulders. Daddy, where do I put it? Put it here, now put it there.
That team chat, Fred, the big Zoom that they all did, where the 2011 Stanley Cup team was, all their faces were in there, it was almost everybody. You know, every once in a while I'd be watching it, and I would just look over to Chara, and like they'd be all cracking each other up and busting balls, and Chara would just be stone-faced, just staring into the nothingness. Just must finish season. All I have to do is compete. Without competition, there is nothingness. Like riding the rooster of doom at Canopy Lake Park in a circle.
Look at my teeth. I have so much gum. Look at how much gum I have and how little teeth.
You got a lot of gum, that guy.
When I smile, it's very gummy. It's a sign of power and pride where I come from.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, they and it stinks too that they have the least amount of a plan, or like the least comprehensive plan, because that's the league that I want to see come back the most. Out of all the sports, just let's finish this season, because of all the teams that had the chance of winning something, they were on a tear. So we'll see. I mean, and you know what? They're probably going to look nothing like they did when the season ended. Everyone's probably going to be all tired, and even Marchand said, "Watch out for the older teams; they're going to have the toughest time adjusting to all of this." And they're technically, I believe, the second oldest team in the league. So, who the hell knows? But one thing we all know by now is the story of Tom Brady just walking into some dude's house that he thought was the offensive coordinator.
Brian Leftwich, not some dude. Oh yeah, he was going to Brian Leftwich,
the dude next door.
Yeah, I'm going to the dude next door's house.
Tom,
that's right. I mean, well, listen, NFL executives around the league were reportedly furious over that story. Not only because they wish Tom walked into their house.
Tom.
I mean, that's how I would feel. But they were furious because league rules prohibit players from visiting with coaches prior to the official start of the off-season program, and people lost their minds. Well, the NFL Network reported yesterday that I guess the league looked into the situation and determined that there was no violation, as Brady was just picking up a playbook. Likely story. I'm sure you couldn't have emailed it to him, sent it
or
to him.
Two duffel bags, too, because it was a really big playbook.
That's right.
Took up two duffel bags.
That's right. That's
and then
right.
Greg Brady stole it and then had a crisis of conscience of whether or not he should use it or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is amazing that...
familiar enough with the Brady Bunch. All right,
think about that. If it wasn't for Brethy Magoo over here, we would have never known that story if it wasn't for the offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich's snitch of a neighbor over there. I'm spoiling it for everyone, unfortunately. Well, and that's kind of the way it goes.
You're overwhelmed like that, and you just, I wish I would have said Tom.
Tom. Tom.
The best one is for shakes. Tom.
Like he's laughing at just the absurdity of it all. Look at this honk.
Tom.
Tom. That's what I wanted to say.
That's Julian Edelman's spirit animal.
Tom.
That's right.
Because up to that point, the guy sounds like, you know, kind of like together. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, who's this guy in my house? And then, it's Tom Brady. And I didn't really know what to say. But then what I wanted to say, and then he just starts, starts breaking loose. He seems like he's kind of cool about the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, he just loses it.
Yeah. Goodness. Well, yesterday, James Devlin spoke to the media about his retirement and told the press that this was not an easy decision at all.
It was a tough decision, you know, one that took a lot of emotions and a lot of time to kind of talk through with my wife and I. But, you know, I'm a solace with the decision that it was made with my family's best interest in mind.
There are now whispers of Coach James Devlin going around that he would be a perfect guy for the Patriots.
A blocking fullback with a neck roll. You're saying that he has a future as a coach in the NFL? seems
what happened to Troy? What was the deal with Troy Brown? Because remember, Troy Brown did our show for a while. He was great. He was in studio every Monday. And then last year, they said he was, like, you know, one of the coaches for the team. And, like, I rarely saw him or heard anything from Troy Brown.
It's interesting you bring that up. It happened during the combine. I remember that one of the wide receivers, obviously it didn't matter, but one of the wide receivers talked to a Patriots coach. And it turned out that the person he talked to was Troy Brown. So Troy Brown was at the combine talking to receivers.
Coach.
Yeah, apparently he's the receivers coach, but has not been officially named that.
Okay, so but last year, like, you didn't see him on the sidelines. Like, I saw a picture or two, but it just kind of be – I mean, I don't know. I don't know how he was being used, but you're saying that he is now officially going to be named the receivers coach?
Well, no. The only reason we knew about that is because the writers who are in Indianapolis put it together. It's like, okay, who did you talk to? Well, we talked to Troy Brown. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, yeah, he talked to a Patriots coach, and he called that person who talked to him a coach. But, you know, it took some detective work to figure out it was Troy Brown. So he still hasn't officially been named that, but he's, from all indications, taken on coaching responsibilities.
All right, there you have it. We will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Sports Hub. Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
Now, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. This is completely random, but we were sent this, Rich, and I think it's very funny. Donald Sterling, if you have a moment, if you can find the Donald Sterling clip.
I'll always have a moment for Donald Sterling clips.
Yeah, I don't so Donald Sterling, who was the disgraced owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, he was a slumlord and a lot of people would say a despicable racist. He had lots of depositions. And tell me when you find it, because it'll reach
you. He's a business person.
He's got AIDS.
Okay, about so, Magic Johnson there.
And he had AIDS.
So he says, this is a deposition.
When he had those AIDS.
All right, so this is a deposition from 2003. Well, I fool around sometimes. I do. When a girl seduces me and tells me all of those hot stories and dirty things, and tells me how much she wants to blank on me and take my shoes off and licks my feet and touches me.
Oh, jeez.
When I'm in a limousine, she takes all her clothes, takes off all her clothes. The limo driver said, what's going on? And then she started blanking me on the way to Mr. Coon's house, and I thanked her. I thanked her for making me feel good. And then the question is, sir, the question was, is this your handwriting?
Oh, yeah. Fred.
He's got AIDS.
Ramona Shelburne, who obviously has covered the Lakers and the Clippers forever. I mean, she's been on that beat for a while now. She did this really comprehensive thing last summer, and I was obsessed with it. Obsessed. Like, he's such a piece of garbage and just unapologetically a piece of garbage. The way that he used to talk about the players, like, he used to bring like girlfriends into the locker room while they were all changing, all of the Clippers, just to show them off. And the things he would say would just be like how they didn't punch his teeth out. Like, he would treat them as if they were livestock.
Yeah,
and like,
he'd be like
showing off his horses.
Yeah, he'd be like, look at that Johns. Look at the size of these Johnsons.
I mean, it was like, how you didn't just knock this guy's teeth. And I understand, you know, he's paying their paychecks, and, or either that, or you're just so shocked by it that
I
you
mean,
just
really, what are you going to do? But I like this. He's like, well, they asked him, is this your handwriting? He goes, well, I fool around sometimes. I do. When a girl seduces me and tells me all those stories and dirty things. I can totally tell how he was saying this too. It tells me all those hot stories.
I think he has HIV. He doesn't actually have full blown AIDS. But.
Yeah, I mean that. Okay, that was one of the reason where those clips are coming from is one of the all time you should have never done that interviews. And every once in a while you get one of those. But Donald Sterling wanted to defend himself after that tape came out, of course, where he was talking about black people and, Magic Johnson, and he thought he would defend himself by going on Anderson Cooper, and it was just the most, oh my God, can you believe the thing?
He's a business person.
He's got AIDS.
He thought that was the trump card. Listen, I could say whatever I want about Magic Johnson. Dude's got AIDS, all right? And when he had those AIDS, which is, of course, how he referred to it, as those AIDS, which is one of my all-time favorites.
He's got AIDS.
Yes,
he was
does.
Saying how, morally corrupt Magic Johnson was because he's got AIDS. but she likes to tell me how much she wants to blank on me and takes my shoes off and licks my feet and touches me.
Oh, yeah. He's just, fascinating. Fascinating. And now, and after all this stuff happened, all of the players came out and just said, oh, yeah, I've got Donald Sterling's stories. And they were just so, he was the worst. As I said, I don't understand why on a daily basis he didn't get his teeth knocked out by these guys. The stuff that he said around them, did around them.
It tends to be kind of immune to that. Takes off my shoes and licks my feet and touches me.
Was girl V. Stiviano is already on the forefront of having the personal protection equipment. She had that visor that was in front of her face at all times. Yes. Maybe it's because she looked like Edward James Olmos.
Yeah, I would have worn a visor too if I was her. I don't think Sterling had enough vision to see. Maybe get that close and see what was going on.
Was she a butterface? Did she have a good? Because I don't remember.
She had a really good body. She had a really, really good body.
Yeah, yeah. And then it was
her face was. I don't think Sterling could see it. He couldn't see the rivets and looked like a map of Uganda, rivers and craters. At the top of a topiary map or whatever they're called, in some mountainous region. All right. Well, the Kentucky Derby is not happening, unfortunately, for people who like to go on Facebook and see people very excited that they have hats on. But nonetheless, we, as a show, will not break tradition. So no commercials, just the headlines. When we come back, is it a racehorse or a bad local band?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.